Thank you for joining the Move the Stairs podcast. I'm Diane Mulligan with my colleagues Mitch Jelniger and Jordan Sherman.
You may be wondering, what does Move the Stairs mean?
It's our philosophy, how we look at every challenge as an opportunity.
When you move the stairs, you take the steps other people might not, creating customer loyalty, nurturing great relationships with the media, and building a resilient CBD hemp and medical marijuana brand.
Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll talk with the brightest minds, the savviest business leaders, and reporters in the CBD space.
You'll learn how brand protection PR can help your CBD, hemp, or medical marijuana business stand head and shoulders above your competitors.
And you'll be on your way to making the most of any challenge. That's what we call Move the Stairs. Let's get started.
Well, welcome to our Move the Stairs episode 95. We are recording on Friday. This is April 12th, 2024. We're happy you're here joining us. We've got a great conversation in store for you today.
We sure do. You know, we'll be joined by Daniel Paul, who's the Vice President of Marketing at Nobo. Nobo is a cannabis operator with cultivation and retail operations in Michigan and Chicago, and come Q4 of 2024 in Illinois. So you don't grow your business in the cannabis industry without protecting your brand. And we're going to learn from Daniel at Nobo exactly how they do that.
Yeah, Nobo was recognized as the fastest growing private company among those with more than $22 million in revenue. This was in 2022 for the Boulder Valley area of Colorado. This was by BizWest's Mercury 100. So quite a distinction. So obviously, we can tell that Daniel and his colleagues know a thing or two about building customer loyalty. We'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss to not mention anything about media relations, right? So we're going to be speaking with Daniel about how he's working with the media and how that may be a tool to help him elevate his brand. So we're excited to have him answer those questions and many, many more. So welcome, Daniel.
Hey, hi, Daniel. Thank you.
Hello, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We're really happy to talk to you today. Well, thank you. So I have a question for you. Right off the start, let's just come right out and start asking your questions. Does NOBO stand for North Boulder, where the company started? Tell me a little bit about what's behind the name and tell us about you and your background, if you would.
Sure. It's morphed a little bit. So the original origins were North Boulder, because if you know Colorado, North Boulder was kind of the Mendocino, kind of the renegade area of Colorado where cannabis was grown. Our founder was from here. But as we've expanded into other states, there is the patina of Boulder. People like that, but we've moved it on to kind of mean no boundaries, given that we're in a regulated industry and people don't like us too much. Sometimes we wanted to kind of capture that by saying, you know, with cannabis, there are no boundaries. You know, people use it for medical, people use it for recreational. So we've morphed it for that NOBO to mean no boundaries.
Love the morphing. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Right. Sure. So I have been a NOBO for almost 5 years, which in the cannabis industry is a very long time. Been on the agency side, and then I really cut my teeth at two small little startups. The first one was called Apple Computer, when it was called Apple Computer at the time. Spent 8 years there right after the introduction of the Mac, and had a great time just kind of learning how to grow within a large company. Spent some time in some internet startups as the internet startup craze, and then joined another internet startup called the Walt Disney Company. They were doing kid-based entertainment stuff. You don't hear a lot about them lately, but I was running their website group of getting all of their kids' websites produced and out. So when you went to DisneyChannel.com or Disney XD, those websites were websites that my group built.
So Disney and Apple, I'll jot that down. Yeah. Check those companies out.
Yeah, they're up and comers. You might hear about them.
You know, Daniel, it's very important. It's a must, really, to stand out from a crowded field of cannabis companies out there to survive. One way to do that is to really listen to the customer. Everybody plans on doing that, but it's not always easy to do. How does that play into NOBO building customer loyalty, listening to the customer?
There's a lot of different ways. You know, we're an old school retail business when you get down to it, right? We have dispensaries in Michigan. They have to be called provisioning centers. One of the things we train our bud tenders on is listen to the customer. You talk to the customer. Our transactions go a little bit longer than a McDonald's transaction, but maybe less than a Gap where you're trying stuff on. And it's that conversation with a customer of, hey, what are you looking to achieve today? What have you tried? What do you like? Do you like to smoke flower? Do you like pre-rolls? Do you like gummies? So where that helps is that we get a pulse on what our customers are asking for. And we have mechanisms to talk to our bud tenders to say, hey, what are you guys hearing? What flavors are selling well? And we look at sale data, right? So we know, oh, look, the fruity gummies are selling really well. So maybe we should go make some more of those, or there's an opportunity to go for a savory one because nobody's done that. So we listen that way. We do quarterly surveys to our audience. You know, these are customers that we have their contact information. The nice thing with cannabis in Michigan and Colorado is that we can capture that information. They have to opt in, but once they opt in, we send them email, we send them surveys, everything from how far did you travel, what's your favorite product, what product would you wish we had. So there's just a lot of communication that way. And then we look at our reviews. You know, we find that our customers are really, you know, it runs the gamut. We have mostly 4.9s, but occasionally we'll get 1 stars, right? So we really do look at those reviews to understand what people are saying, what their comments are. We love when they comment on a particular bud tender or something like that. But they'll also tell us, hey, I had a bad experience. And we really dig into those to understand why and get that information to our general managers.
It's a really big point that you bring up, a really good point, Daniel. And it, I think, you know, helps allows Nobo to kind of separate itself within the field of thought leadership, especially when you have such an excellent model when it comes to your customer service and really listening to your customers. So why do you pursue that? Why is thought leadership, I know from our previous conversation, such an important element for Nobo, especially with all of the other things that go on with, you know, working in a really highly regulated atmosphere such as cannabis?
Well, what's really important to us with the thought leadership is right now we're in 3 states. Cannabis is not federally legal yet. It still has a stigma to it, right? So that some communities we go into say, ah, we don't want that. That's the devil's weed. That's, you know, a cabbage. It's going to make our kids go crazy. They're marketing to the kids. So by having thought leadership, we help people understand and break down those stigmas. For example, we went into Benton Harbor. We were coming into a city that really wasn't seeing new industries come in, that was looking for jobs. We brought a new industry. We brought new jobs. We brought new skill training to people. So the thought leadership allows us then to cross borders when we go into a new state that either is new to licensing or we want to expand into. We can come and show them what we've done, not just the sales stuff and not just the marketing stuff, but hey, how we approach growing cannabis, how we approach working with communities, how we stay away from marketing anything related to children, how we really go after the adults, how cannabis getting over the stigma. We're not here to sell it to kids. We want it to be for customers who choose to come into our stores. You're not conscripted to have it. So having that thought leadership really sets us apart and takes us out of the guy in the back of the van with ripped jeans and a Rasta thing to, hey, it's CEO moms using it, you know, CFO dad, you know, anybody in a responsible, and we always promote responsibility, but anybody in a responsible place can use cannabis the same way they can smoke a cigarette, they can have, you know, too many peeps at Easter, or they can enjoy a beer at the end of the evening.
Well, first off, I have to say, I love that you said CEO moms. Thank you for saying that.
Hey, yes.
And I would think, along with thought leadership, having something to talk about is really important. And I know that quality, that's all over your website. I mean, how important that is to you. And that one of the ways you maintain that quality is through vertical integration. How do you explain that to your customers? And do you think that that really impacts the fact that your customers are loyal?
Slowly but surely, yes. So one of the biggest problems in cannabis is it's a commodity product, right? You know, and so we have to get above it by explaining, well, yes, any of the products you buy in our store is going to get you high, and anything you buy in the competitors is going to get you high. But our attention to detail, because we grow the plant, we we start from the ground. We plant the seeds. We cultivate the plant. We grow the plant. We trim the plants. We then extract it into gummies and into vapes and everything else, as well as sell it as flower. We control that mechanism. So we can produce to the highest degree possible. We do it organically. We get away from any, pesticides or anything along those lines. So we tell that story. And then when you come into our stores, we have screens that explain the whole story of our seed to sale, the fact that we are touching it. We're not just buying it from somebody else and repackaging and doing stuff along those lines. So it people are beginning to understand it, and the proof is in the pudding when you then try, for example, our strain of wedding cake versus somebody else's wedding cake. And if you're a regular user, you're going to notice the difference. Or if you like our particular flavor of gummies more, that gets down to the distilled level of the oils that we use to create it. So we do advocate the message. At the end of the day, do the consumers really care? I like to tell myself yes, but at the end of the day, I don't always think they do. But it's something that we will continually tell them, is that we take great care in creating the highest quality product that we can to their benefit. Because remember, cannabis is a consumable. Yes, there are topicals, but 90% of all cannabis is consumed. We want them to feel good about what they're putting into their body. And we want to feel good that we're putting out a product that's going to make them feel good about their body, and ingesting it.
Hopefully they appreciate all that hard work. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, we hope. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's fun is being able to tell a story like this too. And, sometimes fun is not always the right word. It's a challenge at times, especially when you're trying to determine, which media outlet that you're going to be speaking to. And you certainly have nuances within kind of the media umbrella between trade media, traditional media, television, radio. And as former journalists, that's kind of the arena that we really thrive in for our clients. We have a lot of fun doing it. So I'm just wondering, Daniel, from your experiences, first of all, I just want to ask this before Diane jumps in. Coming from a really high level, what has been your experience working in this industry and collaborating with the media?
So if you go back 5 years, even 10 years when Colorado legalized, there was the Denver Post kind of started up a cannabis section. So there was there used to be one reporter, and maybe it was a halftime reporter or somebody who was interested in it. Sometimes it was like a converted stoner kind of, I get to cover this, to then moving into really serious journalists who may never consume, but then they look and pull back and say, wait a second, this is a legitimate business. Sure, you may object to it, but hey, this is a legitimate business with legitimate business concerns, opportunities, growth, all of that. So we work with the media to really explain to them and let them understand it is a legitimate business. We have lots of guardrails that people put artificially in our way to get the message out there, that the industry is maturing, the customer is maturing, that it's something that people have voted for. In all cases, they voted to have it for sale. So we work to educate the journalists, explain to them the business, and then help them to amplify the message, get them to understand how we're approaching the business, how not just us, but the whole industry is evolving, where it is legally available in certain states and why and what that means. And so it's truly telling the story beyond just, people get to get stoned now. No, it's legitimate business that brings in lots of money, lots of jobs, builds out, new industries. And it is actually exciting for them. So you say it's fun, we look at it and do say quite often, we are only selling cannabis. We're not solving world peace. We're not doing anything else. At the end of the day, it's a recreational drug. It's what people like to use, on a Friday night, Thursday night, they're going to Red Rocks, they're doing whatever. So it is a fun thing. We have to remember that it's meant for fun consumption, the same as a beer or a steak or anything else that you get your enjoyment from.
I think that's so true. And, one of the things we talk about insider media relations is that it's really a good idea to have certain reporters that you have a real relationship with, so that when both good news comes out or bad news comes out in the industry, they look at you as a thought leader. Have you found that to be true? And have you cultivated those types of relationships?
Yeah, we're starting to. And part of it is, to be honest with you, we looked for the detractors of cannabis. who writes against it? Who, you know, and really reaching out to them to say, hey, I'm not here to change your mind. What I do want to do is understand your side. I want to understand where you're coming from, how you got to that, what drove you to that, where I can provide you information is helpful. So that's on the detractor side. And then those that are very pro are that helpful. So we do build those relationships so that it ranges everything from calling them up and saying, hey, we have a new product coming out to, hey, this legislation is happening in Washington. You know, it's getting voted on. Here's what it could mean to the industry. And if this does happen, here's what it's going to mean to your state. Colorado is very cannabis friendly, maybe to another state, Indiana, that doesn't have any cannabis on the books. What can it mean? And what does it mean to the consumer? What does it mean to business? What does it mean, you know, on a whole? So we've cultivated those relationships, and they'll come to us and say, hey, we saw that the Senate has put forward some banking regulation reforms. What does that really mean to you guys? And what does that mean to the industry? So it's that give and take where we need something from them, they need something from us. And by building those relationships, you can have the honest conversations.
I love that, Daniel. And I have to say, in 95 podcasts, no one has ever said that they go after the detractors. And that is brilliant. I love that moment when you said that. And I'm also hearing that you're kind of setting the table with the reporters for when you go into Illinois. Is that right? I know you talked about Indiana, but is that right? In Illinois, are you going next?
Yeah, anywhere that you need to go. Correct. Illinois is next. But anywhere you need to go, you want to announce yourself. You want people to like you. And again, I'll say it again and again, you'll hear me, is there's some people who don't like our industry. There are some people who don't want us in the strip mall next to them. They don't care that we're next to a liquor store or that we're next to, you know, another kind of sin store, whatever it is, a smoke shop or whatever. And we're like, we're by choice. You know, nobody's conscripted to come in, and the voters voted on it. We're not forcing you in. We have regulations that you can't see in the windows. We have regulations on massive lights in our parking lots. You know, we have to have a sign in front that says 21 plus, all these things. So having the media help tell the story of, hey, yes, it's coming and it's cannabis, but it's not your father's cannabis that you used to buy, get in a dorm room that said Maui Wowie on it, but it's actually tested. It's grown under the highest quality. They pay attention. They are vigilant about who comes in their door. If you don't show a valid state ID, you're not getting in. And no, you can't show a paper ID. You can't show me your expired ID with your paperwork that says you're getting a new license. All of those things, we go to great extremes. And so helping to tell that story when we go into a new township in Michigan or in Illinois or a city in Illinois, that helps us get our message out there to say, hey, don't be so freaked out that they're showing up.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. We often advise clients to, when they talk to the media, share a challenge you faced. And some will rear back and think, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want to talk about a roadblock or a speed bump, or maybe we made a misstep. But we always advise them that that can help show how nimble you are, how dedicated you are, how smart you are by facing that challenge. Do you have an example of a challenge that Nobo faced and shared it and then maybe even turned into a positive?
Let me pick which one. Remember, and again, I told you, like, again, we're a regulated industry where people don't want us. We've had picketers in front of our stores. One, I think coming from COVID, if you'll remember, during COVID, in most of the states that were legal, cannabis was deemed necessary. So we got to stay open. So our challenge was to explain to people like why that meant something, because we're not like a drug. You know, and we don't even refer to it as a drug, but we're not like a pharmacy that had to be open and all of that. So a challenge we had in that instance was getting people to understand like, oh, this is something that people really need and they have a good service that they deliver to them. Another one is when the state of Michigan changed their packaging requirements and so you have packaging on the shelf that they deem unacceptable, not because of us, but it hit loads of manufacturers. So we had to go overnight, pretty much change 50, 60,000 packages. Wow. And, you know, you think of the cost on that. So it was a challenge for us to look at internally, how do we go do that without losing our shorts, but then also be able to keep the business open? Because if we had to sticker all these packages and get people to show up, we still wanted to have product for people to sell. So it's just getting over the regulatory hurdles that can come at us much faster than any other industry has ever I think ever faced. You know, if you look at the automobile industry, they'll do a car recall, but that will be over months. We get sometimes days or weeks to correct something.
Daniel, it sounds like, you know, you're no stranger to connecting with reporters. And I'm curious, what does that process look like for you? We have a, you know, kind of a 15 minute, you know, you get the call and, you know, you either say, hey, we're working on something, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. But we at least acknowledge that, yes, you know, reporter from such and such outlet, we got your message and, you know, we're working on lining up the right people to speak with you. So what does that process look like for Nobo? And then what steps do you take to prepare for that interview?
Well, I prepare first, and this sounds old school. Before I reach out to a reporter, I've read probably everything they've written in the last month to 2 months. I've researched them. I understand how they write. I understand what they're trying to write. I try to understand their angle because I've got, you're generous in saying 15 minutes. I got like a minute and a half. You know, you don't get anyone on the phone anymore, right? So you call, you get the voicemail, you got to figure that out. Then what are you going to say in the email? And so based on what I've learned about them in my research, I can craft a message that hits on the high points that they cover. So if they cover the regulatory side of cannabis, I'm not going to talk about new products. I'm not going to talk about the festival we're going to next week. I'm going to talk about regulatory changes we see and how they're going to impact us. And then if it's a more local or kind of regional reporter, what is that going to mean to that city or that township or whatever? It's national. We take a nationalistic approach. And then typically we'll have the conversation with a reporter, kind of understand their needs, and then be able to dig deeper into where they want the interview to go, where we'd like the interview to go, and kind of find that happy medium. But my thing is really is that research. Before you pick up the phone to call a reporter, have a reason and understand what they do, how they write, and why, so that you can be relevant. Don't just pitch your story. You're pitching to them. They've got to be interested in you. And I hate to say it, and it's the equivalent of dating, right? You have to be appealing to the person on the other side. And if you don't do your research, you never are, because you're just going to pitch yourself.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And that works the other way around too. When they call you, you got to buy yourself a little bit of time. So, you know, you may not be expecting Joe Smith from, you know, the Denver Times to call you, right? But when they do, it's like, oh boy, I got to figure out what this guy's writing about, and you know, what are his angles, and all just excellent points, Daniel.
Yeah, we'll keep. I keep a running list. I don't check it as much as I should, of people who are covering, you know, cannabis using Google Alerts and other things, just to understand what's the hot thread, so that we can, in our business, and you guys have seen in others, you know, when something may break. And so when it does, you're prepared if somebody's going to call you. You know, banking regulation, right? Everybody's concerned about that. If something happens on that, I'll pay attention. I'll get a Google alert. And if a reporter calls about it, I'm at least prepared. And there are certain topics that, you know, people are always going to call about. So you're fresh, you're thinking and your ideas, and you're ready to go. Very few times do I get caught up with, you know, just a question completely out of the blue. Unless it is more of the sensationalized, you know, and you don't hear it a lot in cannabis, but, you know, something bad happened, and not crisis, but, oh, you know, a bunch of teenagers bought too many pizzas, and that's very, you know, nebulous version of it. But most of the time, it's those are the ones that catch me up, because I, you know, it's a random one-off that you're just never prepared for.
You know, and that being prepared is so important. I think that every business owner is thinking, how do I weather a crisis? How do I make sure that I can be resilient with my business when things happen completely out of the blue, like you're talking about? And I think, you know, sometimes it's just all about having a plan so that you know the first three steps that you're going to take, so that you can kind of get off of the first step and start moving. It's almost an inertia play, because so many businesses, they just kind of get, you know, deer in the headlights. Is that why you're constantly watching Google Alerts, and is that how you kind of work the resilience into your company?
Yeah, absolutely. I hate to say it, and maybe it's because I'm an old gray-haired guy with almost no hair. I always prepare for the worst in certain situations because our industry is teed up for it. Every industry is, right? You know, auto manufacturer tire blows out, an airbag. You have to be ready for it. And if you're not ready for it and you don't think about, not that we spend a lot of time on it, but we know some of the hot buttons, a product gets recalled or something happens with cannabis in a particular city. So you prepare for that. You have to be ready for it because you're going to get the calls if something bad happens. And you may not think it down to the nth degree, but you know what you're going to say in the first 3, 5, 10 seconds to somebody when they say, hey, we heard this happened in XYZ city or this. It may not even be ours. It may be industry-wide, or if it gets particular to our business, we pre-think how we're going to address those issues, right? So that's going to be, those are the things, you know, you always have to prepare for it. And I think I learned that from my Apple and Disney days, is that they don't spend all their time preparing it, but they have much larger, they're on a much larger platform, a lot more to lose. Yeah, people are coming after them all the time and they are prepared for all of that. And I think that's one of the takeaways I took, is just be prepared. Hopefully you never have to use it, but the same reason we all buy insurance, right? You hope that you have to have it, but you never want to use it. That's the same type of thing of just thinking of what could go wrong, especially in a heavily regulated industry like ours. We need to be prepared for that. And so we do spend some time looking at that and getting ready for it.
Yeah, just having your eyes open, being prepared. I'm interested in your preparation or how you go about that. How detailed does that get? In other words, do you look at something, say, hey, this is a hot button issue in our industry? Let's come up with our own like top three message points, or do you bring the team together and go, make sure everybody's on the same page? How does that look when you're prepping and preparing?
The first thing, and it may sound like I'm a control freak, but honestly, I swear I'm not, is everybody knows at the company, if they get a call from a reporter, press, about a particular instance, be kind, be respectful, drive them to me. They're not our spokesperson. You know, the bud tenders know if something happens, hey, let me have you talk to Daniel. And that's part of the preparation. I don't want to put them in a bad position. You know, you don't want a rogue employee kind of getting a quote, and not even rogue, you don't want an employee getting a quote out there just because they're caught that way. So that's number one, preparation. And then I do have a hit list file that I probably update quarterly of things that are happening in the industry that I want to be prepared for. And every time I update it on a quarterly basis, I have a little calendar thing and I go in there and I do it. I laugh at myself because I'm like, I've never used this point. What the hell was I thinking? You know, and you go through it. So it has probably 7 topics on it that I'm just prepared with 3 or 4 sound bites of here's how we're going to respond to it. You know, it runs the gamut from this happened with this product, this happened with your product, we saw this in this state, to hey, this, you know, all the various things that could happen. And we make them up, and some of them are outlandish and some, you know, are probable, but you just, again, be prepared. But I think the most important thing is educating your employees how to respond, because remember, I love them dearly, but some of the reporters are looking for the gotchas, for the angles and all of that thing. And a retail employee, you know, working through 6 or 8 customers, picking up a phone call from, you know, Jim Smith at this newspaper, doesn't know how to respond or what to do. I don't have time to media train every single bud tender, but I at least have them trained to, hey, call Daniel.
Well, the very fact that you've thought about these things and you've planned them, you know, that can help you kind of elevate that thought leadership and your profile, you know, Nobo's profile overall, but your profile too is a thought leader in cannabis. Is that something that, you know, just kind of comes with the territory, or is that part of an overall, you know, larger strategic plan that you've said, hey, we've got to tackle this and make sure that we are the people that media talk to when something happens, for better or worse?
It's a little bit of both. One, it's to make sure we're covered. Second is I would love Nobo to evolve into one of those brands that when people have a question about cannabis, they call us, right? And cannabis is so scattered across all of the states and there's no real national brand or anything. So part of it is building up that reputation so people know, oh, this happened with banking or this happened with this product. Let's get to understand what Nobo's doing. We want to understand how they're responding to it and what it means across multiple states. So a little bit of it's planned. A lot of it is making sure we're not caught flat-footed.
Well, Daniel, I just have one more question for you, because you said you have a list, and I would love to know what are the, just a couple of the things that that are on your list right that you're planning for.
Okay. So number one is, I hate to be negative, there was a death from somebody using cannabis, mm-hmm. right? You know, you guys are bad. Then it has subsets of that of, was it our product or somebody else's product? Right. A child was arrested with taking cannabis to school, mm-hmm. right? Again, we have to look at the negatives. There was a robbery of a particular dispensary. As you know, how do we respond to those type of things? And so they go down that path because those are really the most egregious that happened to us that we have to be aware of. Is people are always trying to get us because a kid got cannabis or something along those lines.
And I think that that gives a great opportunity for you to be able to say, I know that happened over here, but this is what we've thought about this. And these are the things that we've put into place. And that can really turn that whole conversation around. So
and that's exactly right? That's it, Diane. Our bullet points really address, hey, these are the steps that we take to prevent that from happening at our locations or with our product. And, you know, like anything, I could, you know, you could go into a liquor store, get a 12 pack and go give it to an underage kid. Like we actively promote against that same way the liquor store does. But if it happens at a liquor store, it doesn't make the news. It happens with us. It makes the news right now. And so we have to be a little bit more on edge for those things.
Absolutely. Well, I think you've given us some great tips today. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I know how busy you are and we really, really appreciate it. This was a great interview.
Thank you. You guys, I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thank you. Man, guys, Daniel was fabulous. I mean, so Daniel Paul's Vice President of Marketing at Nobo. And we are thrilled that he was able to join us on the Move the Stairs podcast today. I have so many notes. Mitch, start us off on what really hit you.
I took a bunch of notes as well on building customer loyalty. I talked about what I liked about it, the conversations with customers. That way, you're more than just a quick transaction and move on to the next person. Mm-hmm. You were trying to learn from each individual customer about what they're thinking about, because that helped them build loyalty and also kind of give them an idea where the pulse is, where the customers are leaning towards, what products they maybe should offer.
I know. And I love that thing where he said, it's not as short as a McDonald's conversation, right. But it's not as long as a Gap where you're trying on clothes. So that was very fun.
It wasn't it's not a big lift. It's just a little something that can help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jordan, how about you?
Yeah. You know, we both wrote it down at the same time, Diane. I've never heard somebody say that they've gone after detractors of whatever industry that they're working with to try and understand their side of the story. And to hear that from Daniel, that to me, you know, that's somebody who gets it. That's right. Somebody who wants to have a real deep understanding of the people who are writing good articles about cannabis, but also understand the other side too. And that's literally news. You know, news is balanced, and understanding both sides allows him to craft better messaging that, you know, elevates Nobo through the eyes of reporters on both sides of the issues. And I thought that was brilliant. I really did.
Well, and, you know, going with that, I think is what stood out to me was when he said the word research when it comes to the media.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people do that. And I know as a reporter, I would get maybe 24 press releases a day. That's not an exaggeration. And I'd look at them and think, well, I don't do restaurant reviews. I don't cover sports. They hadn't done their research. By just doing that will help you find those people that can help tell your story.
Absolutely. And that whole detractor thing of developing a relationship mm-hmm. with that reporter and taking the time, you know, how many... I could probably count on one hand the number of times when I was in news that somebody would have called one of the investigative reporters and said, you know, I know this is happening nationally. I just want to make sure that you know the backstory on this. That could create a whole different a different feeling when that reporter is doing a story with you, because now you are definitely a thought leader. There's no question about it. It's not even that you have to establish it. It's already done. So I love that. And I loved his hit list of what are the worst things that could happen and already have them prepared. And also how much that helps lead the company in thinking through these things so that not only are you making sure that you're safe as you can be across the board with cannabis, but also that you can talk about it and you're not thinking, what did we do or how did we do that? when those stories, when those calls for those types of stories come in. So I was thrilled with this whole, it was probably one of the best ones we've done. One of the best interviews we've done in a very long time.
Yeah. You can see why they're a leader.
Well, I just want to thank Daniel Paul from Nobo again for coming on and talking with us today. And I want to thank all of you for listening. We really enjoy doing this because we get to talk to the top people in the cannabis community, as well as in regular business communities, about how they move the stairs, how they're building brand resilience, and how they're taking brand protection PR and really making a difference for their company. So we look forward to seeing you again. Have a great day. Thank you again for listening to the Move the Stairs podcast. You may be wondering where the phrase move the stairs comes from. It's my life's mantra and MNC's commitment to our clients. It's a nod to a defining moment in my television news career. You know, in news, you have to be first with a story, no excuses. And one night I had to get the first TV news interview with a senatorial candidate after he accepted the nomination on stage. I noticed the stairs leading off the stage were taking the candidate directly to my competitors, but what could I do? So I looked around and I noticed the stairs were on wheels. I walked over and bolted the stairs and moved them so the candidate walked off the stage right to my team first. At MNC Communications, our years in the media taught us there's always a way to move the stairs to make the best possible outcome happen for our clients.